This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Have you ever wanted to just scream? You're angry, you're frustrated, you're sad, you're grieving, but where can you go to let it all out? Florence Welch has created that space for you with her new album.
I wanted this sense of that if you were screaming internally, that you could like come to a place and scream externally. You know, I wanted to give that to people as well as myself.
The album from Florence and the Machine is called Everybody Scream. Coming up, Florence talks about finding healing and power in that primal scream, in performance, and in her research into the history of magic and witchcraft.
You would go to a cunning woman for a spell, you would go to your priest for a prayer, but they kind of like, you know, magic was real.
Things get magical with a performance and conversation with Florence and the Machine. Today, I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. A 69-year-old man died in a weather-related accident Wednesday morning in St. Louis County. Brian Pellender of Alden Township, west of Two Harbors, went outside to blow snow. His wife found him 45 minutes later underneath a large fallen tree. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office says the high winds and wet, heavy snow downed the tree while Pellender was snowblowing near it, fatally injuring him. A Grand Rapids woman facing a criminal vehicular homicide charge pleaded not guilty Wednesday morning in Itasca County District Court. 65-year-old Cynthia Cindy Martin hit and killed 19-year-old Carter Hathcock near Nashwalk before driving away the night of July 3, 2024. The plea is the latest in a year of legal moves in the case. Martin was first charged last November. Her defense has attempted to have the case dismissed, to suppress evidence, or move to another venue, all of which were denied by Judge Heidi Chandler. The next step is a pretrial settlement conference set for February 23rd. County Attorney Jacob Fotchold says there isn't a plea offer beyond Martin admitting guilt as charged.
Under those circumstances, it's not unusual for defendants to roll the dice, so to speak, and go to trial, knowing that the outcome that they would face at trial is similar to what we're offering for resolution.
Fotchold says there may be more legal maneuvering before the trial, such as Martin's defense again attempting to get the trial moved. The case has been under scrutiny from some members of the public because of Martin's prominent role in the DFL party. But Fotchold says the idea of politics influencing the case is, quote, absurd, and the case is moving at the same pace as any other under similar circumstances. Martin's defense did not return a request for comment by deadline. The nonprofit Kids Count on Us Bemidji is inviting the community to join elected leaders at a forum centered on affordability. The event will feature stories from community members who will share their experiences with the affordability of health care and child care. Elected officials and community leaders are expected to attend. The forum is 6 to 7:30 p.m. Wednesday at Beltrami Electric Cooperative. Those interested are asked to register in advance. MnDOT is sharing its plans for the Highway 73 corridor in Chisholm. The agency has been studying the one-mile stretch from Highway 169 to the intersection of West Lake Street and 3rd Avenue. It will share its findings and present a proposed final layout at a meeting Wednesday. The meeting is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Chisholm Senior Citizens Building. Essentia Health Fostin is hosting its 21st annual Tree Walk for Hospice on Sunday. Attendees can stroll through decorated Christmas trees created by local organizations and community members and bid on their favorite tree through a silent auction. Crystal angel ornaments will also be available for purchase in honor or memory of a loved one. Funds raised from the event will support specialized care for patients and families served through hospice. The Fostin Langby Lions Club will serve a free will donation breakfast from 10 a.m. to noon, and a remembrance program with a candle lighting ceremony starts at 12:15. Finding a mental health provider in rural areas is hard, but Minnesota researchers say it's much harder for communities of color in small towns. A new report lays out specific obstacles to care and solutions that show hope. The Center for Rural Policy and Development's latest report says lack of insurance, stigma, and trust issues are factors that complicate the issue. No matter the solution, Vice President of Research Marnie Werner says minority populations in small towns need to have agency in making mental health care culturally appropriate.
When a group looks at something that the larger population is saying, here, do this, and they're like, why? I don't understand this, or this doesn't fit with my culture or my understanding of the world or anything. I think that's the big thing, is to give groups the tools and then get out of the way.
For example, the report points to the Red Lake Nation reinventing their social services department using their own words, values, and beliefs. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. On stage, Florence Welch projects a kind of mystical power. Her voice is otherworldly. The imagery and costuming is witchy and dips into the occult. Her sixth studio album as Florence and the Machine, called Everybody Scream, builds on that mysticism, but in deeper, extremely personal ways. Before writing Everybody Scream, Florence experienced a miscarriage that required emergency surgery. Coming up today, in this session recorded live at Electric Lady Studios in New York City, she will discuss how she tapped into a primal feminine energy to help her work through that physical and emotional trauma, which included her researching the history of witchcraft. She also talks about drawing power from live performance, the difference between the performing self and the, quote, normal self, and how we perceive greatness, especially when it comes to women. She also performs live, beginning with the title track from Everybody Scream, live for World Cafe. This is Florence and the Machine.
Try to stay awake,
Live for the World Cafe, Florence and the Machine, the title track from her new album, Everybody Scream. I'm Raina Duris, and Florence Welch is my guest today. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. That is the title track, and it kind of feels like almost like a mission statement for the entire album. But I know you didn't write Everybody Scream till late in the process. You had the title, I think.
So the title was one of the first things that came.
Yeah.
It basically came from really wanting something that rhymed with Florence and the Machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if you had an album title that also rhymed with Florence and the Machine, that was also the title track? Like, it literally came from wanting to write like a single that rhymed with Florence and the Machine, because I just thought that would be cool.
Yeah. And I mean, screaming is kind of all over the album, either in the lyrics or like literally like wails and
yes,
screams.
I think it's almost, as a lyric, it's almost in every song.
Yeah.
Really. So
why do you think that was something that kept coming back?
I think I just like, yeah, I think I felt like I had this silent scream inside me as I was making it. And it was just a way to process that feeling. You know, I had this sort of like silent screaming going on inside me all the time. And so it was like a way to like let it out.
Yeah.
You know, but in a way that like was freed me from it.
Sure.
You know?
Well, screaming is cathartic. And
yes,
it can come from a place of agony, but it can also, and I think in that song, you kind of feel it can be unifying.
Yes, I wanted to change. So I thought about Everybody Scream as like this, everybody scream,
right.
You know, like it's very like, has a lot of bravado in it and like joy almost. And I was like, what if you inverted that into just a scream of like feminine fury and frustration? And when you were like, everybody scream, it was just like,
yeah, it feels like it comes from a really like deep and primal place.
Yes, it is. It was like, it felt like, I don't know. I think when you go through like a traumatic event, it's not necessarily loud.
Mm.
You know, I think I went through a traumatic event and actually it was a very silent event. You know, like when something happens to your body, you're just quite like stuck in it and you actually aren't making that much sound. So it was like, I think it was a way of processing that. I also think we are all wandering around like with enormous amount of like collective trauma in a way. You know, the pandemic really wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't talk about it, or we're not like,
yeah, we didn't really process that.
We have not processed
no.
it. I think we haven't processed it. Everyone is just out there trying to live in this kind of like slightly deranged way.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I do feel like I also like ran at life after the pandemic, like ran back into touring, ran back into like life or trying to live or, and like, yeah, I wanted this sense of that if you were screaming internally, that you could like come to a place and scream externally.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to give that to people as well as myself.
I'm talking to Florence Welch today on World Cafe. In that song, In Everybody Scream, you sing, I get on stage, call her by her first name, tried to stay away, but I always meet her back at this place. She gives me everything. Mm. I feel no pain. Who is she? Is that your stage self? Is that the audience, the stage, the performance?
That actually came from a conversation with Mitski. She came to the studio before Everybody Scream was like fully finished. It was in demo form. It was just a list of random commands and shouts, and like there was no chorus. And she really helped kind of construct that song into what it was, you know, helped. And I think we just had to talk about what the song meant. And we had this conversation about the like level of sacrifice it sometimes feels like as a woman that you have to do to keep going in this job,
mm-hmm.
you know, that potentially that your male counterparts don't have to deal with. But within that, she said something really beautiful. She was like, but the intimacy that brings you with it. And like, it is also like a kind of experience, you know, that maybe they will never know. So we're also two people who I think have a really similar attitude to work, which is like, I must do it. Why am I doing it? I must do it. It hurts so much. which is, again, like a lot of my record is like the brutality of songwriting, what you put yourself through every time you release a record, and yet you always keep coming back.
Yeah. When you go on stage, what does it give you? What is your headspace like?
Well, then I think you're kind of explaining it later in the song. It's like, here I can take up the whole of the sky, unfurling, becoming my full size.
Yeah.
It's that push and pull of like, kind of like the everyday happiness that I think I get from like not being seen, having a quiet life, routine, you know, normality, contentment, and this transcendent experience. You know, eventually I do butt at the edges of a normal life because there's this, you know, I'll start making songs again and I'll be like, oh, there's this huge force inside me that needs to live. Like, I'm not meant for this world.
Right.
I'm like bigger than this building. Like, I must be free from the confines of normality. So you're kind of always wrestling with these like parts of yourself. And I think, especially because bigness and hugeness is often not allowed in women. And especially I think off stage, I shrank myself in order to survive, you know, in order to survive the public gaze. Big, like outgoing, gregarious women were often like told they were annoying or ridiculed or like, and I found that to be the case when I was a young woman and it was really painful. And so I was like, okay, you don't get like this part of me, you know, but the stage was a place where they like, the kind of hugeness of my feelings was kind of celebrated, you know? So I think I always kept going back as a space where, you know, I felt like I could be big, you know?
Yeah. I'm talking to Florence Welch today on World Cafe. Speaking of like unconventional women and women being huge and not being allowed to do that stuff, I know that one thing that you were sort of researching when you worked on this record was witchcraft.
Yeah.
And you went to the Warburg Institute in London. I guess quickly tell us what that is for people who don't know.
So it's one of the biggest, like, it deals in like occult mysticism and symbolism. It's one of the, it actually has a section of the library that's organized just on esoteric principles. Like, it's not alphabetical. It's like all symbolism.
Oh, cool.
It's such a magical place. Weirdly, my mother, when she found out I was there, she was like, it's so sweet because I went there a lot researching my books when I was pregnant with you.
Wow.
So she's a professor of Renaissance studies.
So you'd been there before.
So I've been there before and I went back and I think the imagination is this form of escape. Mythology is a form of escape. I was looking to find meaning in the experiences that I'd had. I was looking to explore forms of power. And also to like look to other women who'd kind of lived non-traditional. You know, like women were called witches just for owning a house. It's just like, they're like, it was like, you know, it was a sense that if you were living in outside of society, that you were a threat, you know, that you were dangerous somehow, or that you had something people wanted. And I was thinking about how I have lived in some ways a non-traditional life.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear you perform the song Sympathy Magic next. And there is something called sympathetic magic. And it's like,
yes,
when it's the belief basically that you can influence something or someone by using a corresponding object that resembles,
yes,
it, like a voodoo doll,
yes,
for instance. what is the magical process happening in this song? What is sympathy magic?
So sympathetic magic, yeah, it is a sort of like, or it's also, so in medieval time, sympathetic magic, you know, there was, I was also looking back to a period of time where magic was just a much more real part of life, like magic and religion, kind of like a similar thing, like you would go to a cunning woman for a spell, you would go to your priest for a prayer, but they kind of like, you know, magic was real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was learning about sympathetic magic, which you would go to, you know, someone and you would be like, I like a love spell, or I want to make a connection with this person. And sympathetic magic, I guess it's a form of like having control over someone, but it was also about making connections. So you would like whisper a spell into a piece of and baking bread and then give that person. And I was thinking about songs as a kind of sympathetic magic, you know, like I feel like that at the heart of it, songwriting is about making a connection with someone, a feeling like you can be with them or put your arms around them or be part of their world without even being there. It's also just a mishearing because they said sympathetic magic and I heard it as sympathy magic. And that was, but like, but I also think the only good thing about going through something awful is that you can be there for the other people who went through it too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was thinking of sympathy in terms of this kind of magic.
Yeah.
You know, sympathy magic, like, that like you can connect with people. That's the only gift in it, really, is that you can also help someone else feel better.
Here's Sympathy Magic performed live. It's Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
I do not recognize my face, the scar face pulls inside, tugging at me all the time, chewing on a feeling and spitting it out, crouched in a ball gown, anxious in a shade. Vague humiliations of fame. I do not find worthiness of virtue. I no longer try to be God. It didn't keep me safe like you told me that it would. So come on, tear me wide open. A terrible gift. Let the chorus console me. Fingers, the only God that I know, and it does not want me on my knees to believe. Head high, arms wide, aching, 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 and alive, and alive. It didn't keep
Sympathy Magic, performed live for the World Cafe by Florence and the Machine. After the break, Florence talks about the temporary nature of love songs, and we compare a new song of hers, And Love, to a classic, Cosmic Love. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and my guest is Florence and the Machine. The new album is called Everybody Scream, and I'm speaking with Florence Welch. We're going to go back to an older song today that you're going to perform for us, one from your debut album, Lungs, from 2009, called Cosmic Love. But first, I want to play a clip of the last song on the new album called And Love.
Aww.
Was not what I thought it was. It crept up on me despite myself, and it was not a love song, it was something else.
So that's And Love. And those two songs, Cosmic Love and Love, I'm not going to make any assumptions, but in my mind, they feel kind of like counterpoints to each other.
Oh, I didn't.
I mean, you have the harp. Yeah. There's similarities musically, but they're both these meditations on love, 15 years apart, and those thoughts have kind of maybe changed. What does it feel like to revisit that 2009 self of yours on Cosmic Love?
So funny now when I think of like the desperation of some of these love songs, and I remember like who they're about from way back then, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, what?
They inspired something at some point.
I know, but then the songs are so good, and you're like, wait, what? But the weird thing is, whenever you write about someone, you're never really writing about them. You know, you're always like tapping into something slightly like unhealed in yourself. So I think a lot of my love songs have come from a place of like deep desperation and these like empty spaces, you know, like I'm living a transient life. I'm not at home. I'm away from the people I love. It really fosters that. I also have never gotten over anything in my entire life.
What do you mean? Like,
well, I'll just if I've ever had a crush on someone, I probably still do on some, you know, I can just like, I'll keep everyone like on a little shelf of longing, and I'll be like, okay, today I'll just like.
Like in Kraken,
go
in
through
that song.
That. Yes.
Yes.
I'll just like, okay, I'm just gonna like pick that up, and because you're so alone. Like it does, I think it's A, being like highly imaginative, alone a lot of the time, you know, there's a lot of being essentially a very romantic person as well, but like,
well, and the longer you're away from someone, the more you can like build them into.
It's much easier to make songs about people that do not exist.
Yeah,
essentially don't exist, or you met them twice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, because you can create these whole fantasy landscapes, and so a lot of my songs were almost about like not even a person, but an empty room thinking about a person. Like They're not even there. Because I'm sober. I'm not doing anything. I'm in a room on my own. Like, this is the saddest thing about it. I'm not at the bar, like, meeting people. I'm, like, in a room being, like,
thinking about love. It is also kind of, like,
not
a very
out.
Romantic image. Like,
I'm, like, in my room writing poetry about someone I met, like, three times. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. But basically, like, this, if you think of Cosmic Love, like, you're in a desolate space, you know, like in twilight, you know, you're in this sort of like vast landscape of stars, and it's beautiful, but it is this sense of like not being grounded or on the world, you know, you, and I do think that fame does that to you. Mm. You know, you are shot into space in a way, and then you spend so much time in rooms on your own. So much time in rooms on your own to ruminate, to think about every crush you had ever had, to think about every person you shouldn't text. You know, that like it perpetuates a life of isolation. So I think in some ways, like it just allowed me to really just be like digging at that feeling. Mm-hmm. So much of the album is about chasing and yearning and longing. And even the songs that are about like ambition or work mm-hmm. or all about this like, keep going, keep chasing, you know, did I get it right? Do I win the prize? Like, do I have to resurrect myself from the dead again and try again? You know, will it be better next time? Yeah. So this sense of like frustration and desperation, and the end of the record is almost like you have this revelation that love and peace will not come from chasing, mm-hmm. that love might be surrendering to what is, surrendering to what's there, surrendering to like someone who really loves you, not in a way that makes you insane. You know, like that peace might, that maybe love isn't the sick feeling, but is this sense of being held, you know? And I think I wanted the end to be this, like, if the songs have these prescient forces or their prayers or manifestations, I kind of wanted to put something at the end of the record that has been so desperate in a way that was like this wish for myself and for everyone, for like the world.
We're going to come back and talk more about the new album, but right now let's hear your live performance of Cosmic Love. This is Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
Darkness with you.
Cosmic Love, Florence and the Machine performing that song from her 2009 debut album Lungs for World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, joined by Florence Welch. It's been 15 years since you released that debut. You were in your early 20s then. You were dealing with fame all of a sudden. You know, you and I are the exact same age.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And we're not old. I'm just going to say that. We're not old. But I mean, aging is something that I think about a lot as a person who's like public facing in an industry like that. And I definitely think about it more than when I was 24.
I think everyone's younger than me now, though. I was like, oh, you're younger than me.
I'm age blind at this point. I can't tell. I'm like, certain people, I'm like, you could be 25, you could be 55. I don't know. But, you know, I think about, you know, getting older in a public facing kind of role more than I did back then. How do you think about it in your career? And is there like a freedom or power that comes with it?
It's a strange sense of that you have to prove yourself all over again. I think you have to prove that like women can still play over 35, you know, like there's a, like, you're still, that people will still want to like look at you. There's this, which has good, cause weirdly they do, but that's also good and bad, you know? Cause I'm like, wait, I'm still out here. Like, I thought this would be done. I thought no one was supposed to want to look at me over 35.
Like, it was going to be so easy after that.
It was going to be easy. They're like, we don't want to see that. Like, no, everyone is still like into it. What? I was told this would be different. So weirdly, it does feel like you have to prove yourself all over again. Yeah. Like this, it's that sense that like men are allowed to just continue on this trajectory and get older and continue their careers and continue headlining. And you, as a woman, you get sent to the legend stage at 30.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay. And there's a sense that like you are given these huge opportunities at very young. And then kind of it's like, but are you allowed to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, you get to a stage where you're like, there has been change, but like, is it also changing for women as they age into the next phase of their career, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know yet.
Yeah, that ties in, I think, very nicely to the last song that we're going to hear, which is my favorite song on the album. Maybe my favorite Florence and the Machine song ever. I love this song. It's called
Thank
One
you.
Of the Greats. And I guess first, I just want to note, you wrote this, recorded it in just one take.
This is one take. And then it was impossible to produce because of that, because the time signatures are insane. The tuning is insane. Someone texted me being like, I love that key change. I was like, none of this is intentional. Like, it was what kind of, Bowen, who's from the band Idols, was playing this chord, and he just sort of like kept playing this rolling chord, and I was singing from the page. I'd never sang it before, and the song was so long. So what you hear is just us desperately trying to hang on. It's still, now when I perform it live, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I was wondering
about
that.
It's so long. There's no like click. There's no real set time signature there is. So every time I perform it, I'm hanging on for dear life. You're just trying to make it to the end of the song. And we always did mean to re-record it like well, but the first take just had this bursting out feeling that we couldn't ever replicate.
Yeah. I mean, in it, you sing about greatness, the perception of it. Has your definition of greatness changed over time?
I think that song was written in terms of like, will I ever be satisfied with a record? Like, I always had this feeling that like, if there was like 100 greatest records of all time, that like none of mine would be on there, you know, because they have their women, you know, they have like, they've got like Kate Bush, they've got Joni.
We've made the list, the list is gone, we did them.
And there's a sense that even with all the striving and the enormous amount that you're giving up, huge things you're giving up to keep going, was it worth it? You know, like, did I get it right? You know, you're just like, oh, will it actually be remembered, or will it? And that's kind of inner perfectionism and just like, yeah, the thing that you wrestle with as an artist, which is like keeping going, but on some level, never quite being satisfied. And that just seems to be part of it. It was weirdly when I accepted that that's part of my process, that I actually feel the best I've ever felt about a record, which is this one. And I think the very visceral and intense way that
everybody's scream came out of me, almost guarded me from needing to have ambitions for it further than just having put it out in a very real way that I haven't experienced before.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of real greatness, is to just be able to do the work and let it go.
Yeah.
Good luck to us all on that one.
I think that's a beautiful place to wrap this up. But
well, like, we're all insane.
We're all losing our minds.
End interview.
Here is One of the Greats performed live by Florence and the Machine on World Cafe.
From under the earth, broken nails and coughing dirt, spitting out my song. So you can sing along, oh. And with each bedraggled breath, I knew I came back from the dead to show you how it's done. Takes to conquer and to crucify, to become one of the greats, one of the greats. I kept a scream inside my chest, killed everyone I'd ever kissed, hung them on the wall like trophies, each name a stain upon my lips. I told the truth but could never see it through. You see yourself hung on the wall, but that song is not about you. I wrote down all my fumbling visions, transmitted by television. Got everything I thought I wanted and cried, hung over in a hotel closet. Did I get it right? Do I win the prize? Do you regret bringing me back to life? Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. I did my best, tried to impress my childhood dream made flesh in my dresses and my flowering sadness. So like a woman to profit from her madness, I was only beautiful under the lights, only powerful there. Well, burned out at 36, why did you dig me up for this? Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. You'll bury me again, you'll say it's all pretend, that I could never be great, being held up against such male tastes. Cause who really gets to be one of the greats, one of the greats? The women in the 100 greatest records of all time. It must be nice to be a man and make boring music just because you can. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan. You're my second favorite frontman. And you could have me if you weren't so afraid of me. It's funny how men don't find power very sexy. So this one, for the ladies, do I drive you crazy? Did I get it right? Did I get it right? Do I win the dance? Do you regret bringing me back to life? Arms outstretched back from the dead, streetlights bursting overhead. Back from the dead, streetlights bursting. Too feminine to function.
destruction.
Live for World Cafe, Florence and the Machine, one of the greats. It's from the new album, Everybody Scream. Florence Welch has been my guest today. It's been so great having you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. This is so fun.
I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Florence and the Machine, but hearing it is only part of the experience. It was recorded live at Electric Lady Studios in New York City, and we did the interview in front of this wild, colorful, cosmic mural that you really should see. You can watch the entire interview and the performance, which was so beautiful, at worldcafe.org. And on our YouTube, it's youtube.com/worldcafe. Now, back in 2023, Florence made a playlist of songs that inspired her, and it included your next three tracks, starting with Kate Bush, Hounds of Love.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running in the night, afraid of what I might be, hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and a world was full of enemies. The hounds of love are haunting. I've always been a coward. And I don't know.
put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're
on the chessboard. Get up and tell you.
White Rabbit from Jefferson Airplane, a song that Florence Welch says inspired her. Thank you again to Florence and the Machine for being on the show today. Thank you to Miguel Perez, our World Cafe producer, for his work on that session, and the World Cafe team, as well as the folks at Electric Lady Studios. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. And by Melville Charitable Trust, committed to ensuring all people have a safe, stable, and affordable home that allows them to thrive. Information about ways to prevent and solve homelessness is at MelvilleTrust.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org. I'm Heidi Holt, and I want to thank you for helping us this year, especially. It's been a rough year for public media, but you have come through for us over and over again. You've come through when we've had matches on the table, when